Here's to honor among thieves. We almost pulled it off.
All my friends are heathens, take it slow.
Despite what everybody thought.
Wait for them to ask you who you know.
They're gonna blame us for the whole thing. We're the patsies. Don't forget, we're the bad guys.
This is The Hollywood Outsider, a weekly movie and TV podcast, which can be found at thehollywoodoutsider.com. We've got a new episode every week, but this is a special episode of our show as we're here to talk solely about Suicide Squad. Now, Suicide Squad is the latest movie from the DC Comics universe and centers around Amanda Waller, a ruthless government operative who decides to use some of the worst villains in the DC universe as a covert team to take on metahumans. The comic book Expendables is kind of what I would refer to it as. Consists of Harley Quinn, played by Margot Robbie, Deadshot, played by Will Smith, Captain Boomerang, played by that mountain of charisma, Jai Courtney, Jay Hernandez as Diablo, and also along our Killer Croc, Katana, and Slipknot, and also Joel Kinnamans? Am I saying that right? Kinnamans?
Kinnamans,
okay. Rick Flagg. He leads the team as they kind of race around trying to bring down Enchantress. We're going to give our spoiler-free takes at the beginning of the show before we get a little bit deeper into what we loved or didn't love, the cast, including our new Joker, especially where we think DC is headed. Be sure to get the Hole in the Go with our Apple or Android apps. You can find us on iTunes, where reviews are appreciated, your podcast app of choice, Spotify, iHeartRadio. Justin, see, I got it in there this time.
Very good.
TuneIn Radio or Stitcher. Please share the show on your social media outlets, Facebook, Twitter, Reddit, whatever. My name is Aaron Peterson. Joining me today are my fellow host, Scotty Clark.
Well, you're not going to assign us each a member of the Suicide Squad this time? No clever intros?
I don't. I'm sorry. You would probably be the dead one. How's that?
The dead one?
You're Slipknot. Show up late and you're out early.
I can't hear that name without just thinking metal music.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Big clowns, like, pounding on drums.
And also joining us, Justin McCumber.
Justin Deadshot McCumber, thank you.
Oh, you're really comparing yourself to Will Smith, huh?
Mm-hmm, Big Willie.
Does that mean I gotta be Harley Quinn? Because I'm cool with that.
No way, that would ruin it for me.
Well, you're about as pale as she is.
That's true.
That is true. Now, there's one thing I want to clarify for people. If you tuned in, if you've never listened to Hollywood Outsider before, and you tuned in and you're like, I want to go find a podcast that's going to poop all over this movie because that seems to be the trend. Find another one. It's just not going to be that kind of thing. We'll have critiques. We'll talk about what we liked and what we didn't like, but we're not here to tell you how much better or worse this is than other things. It's just not that kind of podcast. Is it? We're not going to do that, right? Unless you guys wanted to, we can.
Are we going to shit on this movie? Hell to the no.
Well, I mean, I think we'll have varying opinions on it, but we're not going to be one of those podcasts that's just like, this whole movie sucks. DC's doing everything wrong.
No, see? No, that's not us.
We're not going to shut down Rotten Tomatoes or anything like that.
That's just, okay, people. It's not, the critics aren't surprised. If they didn't like it, they didn't like it, whatever. But please, Rotten Tomatoes, there's a petition to take Rotten Tomatoes down because they're not being fair to DC. That's just silly. It's an algorithm. I mean, they're basically pooling everything together. It's an average. It's not their fault.
I mean, does Metacritic do the same thing?
Yeah.
So yeah. Take Metacritic down too. Take them all down, damn it.
Bring the system down.
Right.
People get so mad when people don't have the same opinion as they do. It just doesn't make any sense.
You know, tell us,
celebrate the differences.
Tell us what that's like, Justin. Just kidding. We're going to do the spoiler-free reviews first. So basically, we're going to talk about, just in case somebody's tuning in and is curious what we thought about the movie real quick, and then we're going to dive into the spoilers. So, Justin, tell us what you thought first and what your score was.
I thoroughly enjoyed it. It was a laugh a minute. It was much funnier than I thought it would be. Had a ton of action that worked for me. I got a little worried going into it because there had been so much love heaped upon Suicide Squad. And then as soon as the reviews started coming in, they were not reflective of that love heaping. Mm-hmm. And so I was kind of worried that somewhere there was a disconnect. And I didn't know, is this a disconnect that I'm going to be able to bridge, or is it something that I'm going to unfortunately feel the same way as? And now the critics, as far as I'm concerned, that didn't like it, I'm sorry. I wished you would have, because the movie I saw was a ton of fun. And I cannot wait to see it again. In fact, I may go see it again today. I give it a solid 8 out of 10. Yeah, there's not a lot for me wrong with this movie.
Well, I did enjoy it. I didn't love it as much as Justin. And I will preface this by saying that I feel like I need to see it a second time so that I can go watch this movie with a clean environment where I'm not sitting next to somebody with excruciatingly bad body odor, because that happened to me again like it did with Avengers.
Wait, what? So,
no, for real. I'm sitting next to a dude that forgot to shower. And here's how bad it was. He was actually sitting on the other side of my brother. Mm-hmm. And my brother was so grossed out, he was leaning in like we were on a date just to try to get away from the stench of this guy. And he was belching the entire time and blowing out his belches, even though he wasn't drinking anything.
Oh, man.
It was gross. But anyway.
I'm sorry I asked about that story.
Yeah, yeah. So this movie to me started out very strong. The introduction to the characters was awesome. I was really excited for what was going to happen for the rest of the movie. But by the second act, I got to be honest, I found myself caring a little bit less and less about what was happening. And I was really looking forward to the ending. I'm not saying that it was a bad movie by any means. I kind of lost interest a little bit. That's not to say I didn't enjoy a lot of the characters and some of the action sequences, because I really did. I honestly just don't feel like this is one that I'm going to be watching again. Sad to say. Are we giving a score here? Or?
Yeah, give your score.
So if $10 were the full price of admission, I would pay $6 to see this movie.
Okay. I would say I love the beginning the same as they introduced everybody. I thought that was the quickest and easiest way to do it. You've got a lot of characters and a very little time to do it. I think the story got a little muddled in the middle. The editing and the tone was a little bit spotty in parts, but it all came back around. I thought the conclusion was really fun. I'm in the minority. I liked Enchantress probably more than I liked Joker.
Oh, yeah, me too.
Smith, Robbie, and Hernandez, I think, are great. The weakest for me was the Joker, but it still wasn't bad, and I'll talk about that more in the spoiler section. So if $10 is the full price of admission, I give it $6.50. Boom. All right. Now, if you guys are ready, we're going to play a little clip, and then we're going to get into the spoiler section. So this is your warning. Spoilers, spoilers.
Behold the voice of God.
For those of you who don't know me officially, my name is Amanda Waller.
There's an event in Midway City. I want you to enter the city, rescue HVT-1, and get them to safety.
I'm sorry. For those of us who don't speak good guy, what is HVT-1?
The only person that matters in the city, the one person you can't kill. Complete the mission, you get time off your prison sentence. Fail the mission, you die.
Anything happens to Colonel Flagg, I'll kill every single one of you. Remember, I'm watching.
I see everything.
There's your pep talk. So that's it? What, we some kind of Suicide Squad? I'll notify your next of kin.
Yeah! I don't know why I ever doubted Will Smith. I'm kind of ashamed of myself to a degree. All right, so the wait is over. What did you think overall? I know we kind of talked about it briefly, but what did you think overall of Suicide Squad? Now you can be as spoilery as you want, Scott.
Well, I'm glad you started with me, because I feel like I had the least amount of experience with Suicide Squad. I didn't even know this was a comic book until the movie was announced. I had no idea. So, I purposely went in without doing any kind of research outside of what I saw in the trailer, because I kind of wanted to be introduced to it in the movie. Mm-hmm. I love the concept of bad guys being recruited to save the world. And like I mentioned in my spoiler-free section, the introduction of the characters was awesome. I thought that was a perfect way to introduce people that have never experienced these characters into it. Where what was the lady that recruited him? What was her name again?
Amanda Waller. Yeah,
Waller. Where she's sitting down, kind of trying to sell this politician or whatever on the concept of recruiting these guys. Which, let's be honest, is like a ridiculous concept. Just to like let them free, but she kind of did a good job of selling it. I felt like this movie was more of more focused on Deadshot and Harley Quinn and Joker and everybody else. Kind of like, you know how, Aaron, you always talk about the Avengers movies felt like Iron Man and Friends?
Mm-hmm.
I feel like this is kind of going that direction with Deadshot, Harley Quinn and Friends instead of the actual team. that there some of the lower characters had a couple big moments, but they felt really underused. It didn't feel like an Avengers Assemble type of deal where they had to kind of work together as much. I don't know. That's basically what I thought of it. It didn't feel as cohesive as I wanted. What did you guys think about that team aspect?
I like the team aspect. I do agree it was probably more focused, but I mean, man, it's so hard to do these, and I had the same thing with Avengers. It's so hard to do it where everybody gets their fair shot. I just think you've got, and they had a lot of characters in this one. This is even more than Avengers, I think. There's like 45 at one point where they're trying to get through, and it's like, you know, they're checking off the list. The introduction was really smart, I thought, and if you're going to focus on characters, I was fine with the ones they focused on. Maybe a little less Rick Flag and a little more of El Camino or whatever, Diablo. Maybe a little bit,
El Camino.
A little bit more of him, because I thought he was great.
Oh, man, that's funny.
He was the most interesting character. And
is he a car? Is he a truck? Is he a car? Is
exactly. A truck? I don't know what. He's a Transformer. I don't know. Justin, what about you?
Yeah, I thoroughly enjoyed it. When you've got a cast this big, you're going to have to make decisions on who's going to get the main. Either you pick a group that's going to get the main coverage while everyone else suffers, or you're going to have everyone trying to get equal billing and time on the screen, and you're just going to fail.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
so
true.
You've got to pick a few of your hero characters. And for me, they couldn't have done better than what they did. Will Smith as Deadshot. I no matter how crazy his kids are, and no matter how bad sometimes his choices are in roles, Will Smith is an amazingly charismatic actor.
I would agree.
Totally.
And I was really hoping that he was going to bring his A game to this. And I, as soon as he started talking, I knew he did it. And throughout the entire movie, he maintained his villainy with also his humanity. And it never to me felt, you know, like he's a hitman with a heart of gold.
Mm-hmm.
He was the hitman who kind of was made to discover that heart.
Well, it was like
he didn't always have it.
It was more like a respect, I would say. I mean, right. I think he respected people.
But it really, there are some things I didn't think worked that well. We'll get to those. But overall, I mean, Harley Quinn, I was really worried that they weren't going to make her Harley enough. And I needn't have worried. Hell, she even does the voice.
She did a little bit, yeah.
And I didn't really pick that up much from the trailers. But in the movie, it seems much more there.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm glad they went that way. And I know I'll probably get shit for it. But for me, so far, this is probably my favorite interpretation of the Joker. Because he has Nicholson's.
That's bold. That's bold, sir.
He has Nicholson's humor, but he also had Jared Lee. He also had
Heath Ledger.
Yes, thank you. Heath Ledger's menace, because he was a guy that I never knew what he was going to do moment to moment. He could have hugged you and he could have stabbed you in the heart, and he may do both. Or he may do something completely different. And that's what I need from the Joker. I need unpredictability. I need to feel kind of scared of this guy.
Mm-hmm.
That he could just flip out at a moment's notice and just kill everybody in the room. And then laugh when he's done. And I felt like I got that. I loved his interpretation of the Joker. He is so smooth and so charismatic. And yet so, for me, menacing and scary that it really, really worked for me.
Well, you're taking all your time from when we actually talk about the Joker, you know. All right.
Well, I'll get back to him. But
put it back
all in
your
all,
pants.
I thought they picked the right characters to focus on.
All right. Well, let's talk about the story a little bit. You've got this many characters, like Scott already alluded to. Do you think the story that they went with, does it work? Was this the direction they should have went in? Do you think they should have went a little different way? What?
I think they could have probably gotten rid of a couple of the characters and it not have lost too much. I mean, hell, they got rid of Slipknot fast.
Mm-hmm.
When he didn't even get an introductory video clip.
That was his red
shirt. Yeah, I knew. Yeah, he's going to become chum shortly. And of course he did. He might as well have come on wearing a red shirt with a Federation emblem on it. I think they probably could have gotten rid of, even though I enjoyed, for the first time, really enjoyed Jai Courtney.
Yeah, the first time ever, probably.
Yeah, I think they could have not had him, and it still would have worked for me just fine. And maybe even not even had Killer Croc, but he's such a visually interesting character. I think he kind of needed to be there. But I did like the direction they took with it. They focused on the right ones. They gave the others just enough to keep going. And then they had that ace up their sleeve with Jay Hernandez.
Mm-hmm.
You know, his Diablo was fantastic. It just took a while to get to developing that character. He got developed, I think, really last of all. But it worked. I think it really worked.
I'll talk about him more about him later. But he's been my summer surprise, honestly. He's in Bad Moms, too. And he's just like, not the sequel. He's actually in Bad Moms also. And he's just a riveting actor. He really is. But when it comes to the story, I really like the Escape from New York-ish plot that they had going on. I like that I had no idea what they were doing because it wasn't all spelled out. You know, I'm trying to figure, I'm like, so at some point, are we going to understand what the villain's motives are here? Or are we just, but no, it's we're going to get to know them through them trekking through the town. And I actually kind of like that. When they're popping the heads off blackberries, that was a little weird, but I don't really know what those are.
They did look like blackberries, didn't they?
Yeah, Dave McGraw actually pointed that out. He's like, they look like blackberries. I'm like, they sure do. And
it's funny you say Escape from New York. I got a little bit of a Ghostbusters vibe with the whole like circle of garbage at the top of a building that they had to climb up to get to.
Yeah, I did.
Yeah, I can see that.
Yeah, being, with the villain. Yeah, a little bit of Zool and whatnot. Mm-hmm. But more Escape from New York because they had to go get Waller, who was trapped inside, and mm-hmm. you know, get her out of the city alive and that sort of thing. I liked all that. It took forever before we saw why these guys were really needed at all. That was probably my biggest problem with this story is they didn't. The only thing I think they didn't do a very good job with in the story was letting me know why are they so special until almost the very end. Harley, except for Deadshot, he got a lot of play. Harley, I still don't think they did a really good job of explaining why she is a great addition to the Suicide Squad. Because they really just paint her more as she's just nuts and she's violent. So why is she there? And I think she's a great character and she's got more to offer. And I don't think necessarily this movie did a very good job of explaining what her benefits are.
Yeah, what did she bring to the team other than swinging a baseball bat a bunch?
Yeah, that's
well, she's an acrobat, so maybe some of that came into it. And I there is something to be said for an unhinged. If you need people killed, someone like her who's just completely given over to violence is probably somebody you want to send in the room.
Right, but they didn't do a good job of telling us that.
Yeah.
And I think, you know, we know the character. Well, Scott doesn't, but he's a comic book fan, even though he doesn't admit it. Because he likes most of these movies. He's just like, oh, I'm not a big comic book fan, but I go to every one of these movies. It means you're officially a fan. It does. So what did you think of this story, Scott?
Well, I was going to say the same thing you did, actually, about the motivations for the villain being revealed like way too late in the story. I don't know. Maybe I'm just used to other films of this genre where they spend the first part of the movie focusing on the villain.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Where it's like, okay, you usually see that first. I mean, think of like The Dark Knight. You see his the bank robbery sequence, or another ones aren't escaping me right now, but like I'm like, what are they fighting against? What's going on? I mean, Enchantress in my mind at the beginning of the movie was a good guy. I mean, a good guy, bad guy. You know what mm-hmm. I mean? She was helping Waller at the beginning of the movie. I mean, it was the human counterpart of her that was helping, but Enchantress wasn't really the villain in my book until she escaped, and I still didn't understand why, what her deal was, what her motivation was.
Did you understand by the end of the movie?
No, like world domination. I mean, she, you know,
it was more like wiping out the human race because they weren't bowing to her or them as a god.
These were ancient beings who had once upon a time been revered as gods, and then they were betrayed by the humans and locked away in that those bottles. Mm-hmm. And now that they've been, or at least once she was freed, her goal in, was pretty much the subjugation, the resubjugation of humanity and its destruction.
Right. And to me, that just, I don't know. Not that that exact story is done. I just feel like I wanted something more interesting for a motivation to do with what she and her brother were doing. So, I don't know. I felt lost along the way. I feel like maybe I would enjoy it better going into it a second time, kind of knowing that. Because, again, mm-hmm. not having reading the comic books, maybe, Justin, you have, I assume?
I've read some of the Suicide Squad. Okay, so I was never a huge follower of it, but this movie kind of makes me wish I had been.
Mm-hmm. But and to echo, I feel like I'm saying everything Aaron did, but the parts in the middle felt kind of...
Say it deeper and say it slower.
the parts in the middle felt kind of muddy. Some parts just felt unnecessary, and I was like, come on, let's get moving. Maybe my ADD was kicking in. I don't know.
No, I think there's some pacing issues in the middle. I really do. There's definitely some pacing issues. I never looked at my watch. I was never really bored, but I was like, where are they going with this? Because it doesn't feel like it's going anywhere. But it did. It just took a while to get there. And really, it's all Waller's fault, if you think about it. Like, if she wouldn't have started the Suicide Squad, Enchantress wouldn't have gotten free, and
what was she having them fight against to get them all assembled?
Well, the reason is because with all the... I mean, you got that, right? With the metahumans...
With Superman not being around anymore.
Superman not being around, and what if they need somebody? They need a team under their control. Who are they going to call? Well, these are the best of the worst to do that.
So scraping the bottom of the barrel, basically, they're being preemptive?
Yeah, well, I think it's because they're expendable, and they don't care what happens, and, man, they really...
Yeah, that's what Suicide Squad means.
Yeah, it's... yeah.
I mean, it's basically a team you send in probably to die.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, that's what happened.
Well, not to mention they got those little chip things embedded in their neck.
Yeah. So. Boom. I love when Jai Courtney's like, all right, you with me? And they let him talk in his natural Australian accent. And I said earlier, he's never been really good before. I take that back. Terminator Salvation, even though I don't like that movie, he's really good in that movie. So mm-hmm. I should give him credit for that. That's all he's getting.
But he's funny as shit in this thing.
Yeah,
he was good.
He is. Where he's like, hey, you with me? And the guy's like, yeah. And then he flips up and gets his head popped off. And he's like, oh, all right, I'll hold back. I thought that was really funny.
Oh, that is working.
Yeah. And I never really, I couldn't tell. Was that him testing it or he really was going to make a break and Slipknot just got ahead of him?
I can't quite tell either.
I took it that he was testing it to see if it was legit or not. But
well, now he knows. Now we all know. That's legit. All right, now we're going to talk about the big three, but first let's hear another clip.
What do we have here?
What are you going to do? Are you going to kill me, Mr. J?
What?
Oh, I'm not going to kill you. I'm just going to hurt you really, really bad.
Badly. Badly, not bad. Ugh. Oh.
Seriously, that really bothered you?
It did.
You're such a dork. God. All right, let's talk about the big three. And this means the big three characters / actors. Harley, Deadshot, and the Joker. Let's talk about Harley Quinn first. Margot Robbie. Scotty, what'd you think about Margot Robbie as Harley Quinn? And you didn't know her really from the comics. You knew her from the video games, though, right?
Well, the video games and the cartoon series when I was a kid, she's very recognizable, but mostly from the video games. She was probably my favorite character in the movie, and not just because she looks really good. Mm-hmm. She really did look good.
Yeah, but how many times did she turn around and the camera is like looking at her hind end? I'm like, God bless David Ayer for directing this.
That scene when she's like dressing in the middle of everybody and everyone stops and just stares at her.
Yeah.
She's like, what? Like, you don't know? I actually enjoyed hearing a bit of her backstory. I know that Justin mentioned that it wasn't told really deep, but I've never known anything about her backstory. I didn't know that she was a hospital worker assigned to Joker to mm-hmm. try to, or like a psychiatrist, basically, mm-hmm. that wound up falling in love with him, and I thought that was really interesting. So it was really cool to see that. But her quips and lines were just some of the funniest in the movie for me. She was hilarious, just like embracing her crazy. I really enjoyed that. When she I mean, the best one probably is the one from the trailer where she's like, oh, what? The voices in my head are telling me to kill everybody? I'm just kidding. That's really not what they're saying. Just like the way she delivers that is so good. Mm-hmm. Just so much fun. Every time she was on screen, I was smiling. What about you guys?
Yeah, when she in her story, she basically is driven crazy by mm-hmm. Joker. And she falls madly in love with him, and I don't know, Justin, would you really say he loves her? I mean, in his own sick, twisted way, but he doesn't really yes. love anyone, right?
As much as he can love something, he loves Harley Quinn.
Right. And the one thing I think was a little missing was how he, I guess in the car when it crashes, he totally abandoned her. So they did show that selfish side of him, because he really will just throw her to the wind without a second thought.
If he has to, mm-hmm. sure he will.
Or to the water.
Or to the water. I'm Batman. I thought she was perfect, man. I wish I had a whole lot more to say, but I think she was perfect. I think they could have probably given her a lot. Well, not could have. They could have given her a lot more to do. There were times when I felt like she was way underutilized as a character because she's just so good at doing that role. And she's a great actress. Some people aren't fans of Margot Robbie. I don't
understand. She's good.
She's great, oh, yeah. man. I've loved her in every single thing I've ever seen her in. I've never seen anything where I'm like, you know what? That just isn't her role. I think she can play pretty much anything at this point.
Yeah, I love her. Like Wolf of Wall Street, I didn't like that movie that much, but she was the best part of that, in my opinion. Her and Jonah Hill. But yeah, I have not seen anything where I was like, man, she's just okay. She's yeah. really good.
And in Tarzan, she's the best part of Tarzan. And it's a movie about Tarzan. So that says something, I think. She's really good.
Did she play Jane?
She did, yeah.
Huh. I know that.
Now you're curious, aren't you? You're like, maybe I'll go see that one.
Maybe.
Mm-hmm. She was really good. What do you think, Justin? Margot Robbie?
I mean, you guys pretty much said it all. I think it's fantastic. The one reaction to her and the Joker's story that I don't quite understand is amongst especially my female friends, a lot of them hate that Harley and the Joker's love is being celebrated.
Yeah.
Because it is so based on abuse and,
yeah, she's a battered wife, basically.
Mental manipulation. But, I mean, look at Romeo and Juliet. People think that's the most romantic story ever. It's about two children who kill each other, or themselves and then the other. But we quite often can find something in a sick, twisted kind of love that appeals in a strange sort of way. And I think that's what Harley and the Joker have. They have this love that burns like fire, but it is incredibly dysfunctional. But that doesn't mean it's unworthy of being examined. And I think that's what these films do. What I would love is to see a Natural Born Killers with Harley and the Joker.
Oh, yes.
I want the two of them together ripping up some city or on a road trip somewhere. Because I think they played off of each other so well in this movie. But yeah, I mean, you guys pretty much already said it all. She was great. She did the character total justice. And the only bad thing now is the next Comic-Con you see is going to be nothing but pink and blue.
Yep, I would agree. And people are like, that's not the real costume. They showed it in the movie. Shut up.
They did. Shut up. She actually wore.
Yep.
They had one nice, beautiful little moment taken right off of a comic book cover of the Joker in his tuxedo and her in that mm-hmm. Harlequin unitard dancing. It was great. So shut the bleep up, haters.
That's the PG-13 version of Justin McCumber. All right. Will Smith. Justin, why don't you go first? You talked about Deadshot. What about Will Smith as Deadshot?
Oh, Big Willie was in full effect. Fantastic chemistry, charisma. The dude played this killer the exact right way that I would like, that I wanted to see him played. I couldn't have been happier with what they let Will Smith do with it. I was afraid that they were going to try and PG down the character so that his violence becomes the R factor, but they didn't. I mean, they let him go as full filthy as he wanted to go. And yet when he's delivering these lines with such charisma and charm, it's ridiculous. When he's early on, when they hand him those guns and he's shooting and showing them what he can do, and then ends it with his demands to be a part of this squad, and he goes, yeah, what's scaring me most is I don't see none of y'all writing this shit down. I laughed so hard people turned around and looked at me. I couldn't have been happier.
I was so scared they were gonna neuter him. I was really scared, because his latest image the last few years has been very much more serious, much more downplayed, and man, you almost forget he was in Bad Boys 1 and 2.
Right.
What about you, Scott, for Big Willie?
Well, if Harley was my favorite character, I think Deadshot was still the more interesting character. He was just, he had a lot of depth to him that I enjoyed. I love seeing the love for his daughter as like his motivation for everything that he was doing. He didn't really care about himself as much. He just wanted to see her succeed. Like the scene Justin was talking about, where his demands were all about him, about her getting through school, going to the good schools, going to Ivy League schools. And then his line about, and if she starts struggling with her grades, I want you to white boy that kid. That was such a great line. I loved it. And he also had, and in that same sequence when he's showing off his abilities, in most movies when they show off how accurate a character is with their weapons and they're doing headshots on the dummies or whatever, mm-hmm. it's always like a little bit of a scatter shot. Still, it's all headshots, but they're all scattered. Mm-hmm. With Deadshot, every single shot hit the exact same mark, to the point that it's burning holes through this metal piece. That was just, I love that. The idea of a character
smiley face or something.
Right. Mm-hmm. The fact that this character is so in tune with weaponry that he's adjusting for wind speed and velocity and angles and stuff, which they play into a little bit at the end when he's talking to his daughter, which was kind
of
cool.
Curvature of the earth.
Yeah, which is awesome. And he also had my favorite action moment of the film, which we'll get into in a little bit. But okay. Overall, Deadshot was immensely interesting character to watch on screen, and Will Smith nailed it.
When I talked about the beginning, how I was almost embarrassed because it has been so long since I saw fun Will Smith, I was concerned that Will Smith wasn't going to be fun,
mm-hmm.
which shame on me, because I mean, I've loved the guy his entire career. I mean, since he was a rapper before he became, you know,
back, I was in Philadelphia, exactly. Born and raised.
Before that show and everything else, like, I've been a fan of his since he became a performer, or since he finally hit the national stage. Mm-hmm. And I'm still was somehow surprised by that, and I was ashamed of myself for it. I am happy that Jaden Smith wasn't the Joker in this, though, so that's good news.
Oh, my goodness.
But I almost, I really considered it a surprise, and I don't know why. He still has the goods. He hasn't shown them in forever, but he's still got it. And I really thought at one point he's going to overshadow everyone because he's just that good. I mean, he brought the full Will Smith package. Big Willie style.
He kind of was the Iron Man of the group, like the leader.
Yeah, which, I mean, if you know Deadshot, he's not nearly as compelling as Will Smith made him. So, I mean, he's a good character, but he's not really compelling. And the humanity in him is very minimal. It's always, you know, the daughter thing. But they kept his edge, and I was really concerned that wasn't going to be there, and it was there. Man, I was really taken aback, and I shouldn't be. I should just be, Will Smith's always great. I should just accept it. And why does he get so many haters nowadays? Is that because he was so popular for so long? Is that why?
Probably that and After Earth.
Yeah.
Well, I think it was because of his kids.
Probably. Too much focus. But people don't if you had kids that wanted to get in the same business as you, you'd probably do the exact same thing.
Well, then teach your kids not to be weird.
Okay. I can't really
argue. I think that's a very good call.
Have you ever read Jaden Smith's Twitter?
No, Scott. I've got better things to do. What? Like, picture him as
eyes.
The
They
Joker.
Don't exist. We don't have eyes. What?
Hey, man. You know what? Will Smith grew up in Philadelphia, obviously. So he's got a bit more grounded reasoning than the rest of the world. Jaden never grew up that way. So he's got the entitled, enlightened, I don't know. He's from a different world.
Should have spent more time on the playground, spending the rest of his days.
I think so. All right, now Joker. Justin, here, we'll let you take the Joker. You already talked about it, why you loved him pretty much, but is there anything else you want to add why you love Jared Leto's performance? Or Leto, sorry.
Yeah, well, you know, when Jack Nicholson played the Joker, he did such a good job of presenting the Joker's charm, you know, his ability to be funny and witty and disarm you with a joke. But he also had a slight edge to him, slight violent edge. Then you get to Heath Ledger, who is almost total craziness. There's a certain charm to him, but it's a very sick, kind of oily, slimy charm. His character was all about destroying, about seeing the world burn. Mm-hmm. You know, that became the joke.
He's an anarchist.
Some people just want to watch the world burn. He's an anarchist. Yes. That's what he wanted, and that's what he went for. In this film, though, this Joker, he's not about, you know, destroying the world. That's not of interest to him. He's more of a gangster type character. He's all about having his, you know, his minions. And he's all about that kind of lifestyle of what that brings, the violence, the guns, the over the top colors, everything, the chaos that goes with it. And I really like that kind of Joker, because this is a Joker you can sustain across multiple movies. Heath Ledger's Joker, I don't know if you could have done that more than once.
Oh,
because at some point, when does his need to see the world burn just become, I don't know, it becomes one dimensional. Whereas with a more criminal mafia type Joker, his goal could be anything. It could be just finding the perfect diamond necklace for Harley Quinn, or it could be bringing down the Batman. You never know. So I think this is a character you can easily bring into his own film or as cameos in other people's films. I think Jared Leto so disappears in that role that I can't even see him. All I see is the Joker. And I know there's a lot of people who don't care for his version. I think it's great, but hey, you know, everybody's mileage is going to differ.
That's right.
Speaking of Batman, where was he in the rest of this movie? Like, he showed up for a couple scenes at the beginning. What was
he
doing?
He was put together the Justice League, bitch. He's busy.
Well, he popped up at the end, you know, during the credits, but
yeah.
Well, that was more Bruce Wayne than Batman. But yeah, people misled a little bit, because I kept hearing, oh, there's more Batman in this than you think. No, there's not.
No, he's got like 5 minutes total.
If more Batman than you think is none, then sure.
Yeah. I mean, I did like his exchange with Waller, though, where he's like, shut it down. Because that's what Batman would do. Batman's
shut it down or we'll shut you down.
Yeah, he's not okay with this idea, obviously. Scott, what about you? What's your take on the Joker?
Oh, man. I really enjoyed Leto's performance. I thought he was an interesting villain. Really great villain. I just didn't like him as the Joker. I think what Justin said earlier about the idea of these two being in like a Natural Born Killers remake or something, mm-hmm. I like that idea. I think the two of them together are fantastic. And while Harley Quinn is a great Harley Quinn, or I'm sorry, Margot Robbie is a great Harley Quinn, I felt so distracted by Jared Leto as Joker, especially that grill, like the gangster grill.
Yeah.
And I know there's
I love that. I know people hate it. I love it because it makes him look so much sicker, because it makes his teeth. If you don't know what it is, he almost looks like he's just got this effed up mouth.
All right. Let Scott get his say in.
Sorry.
Well, I mean, I felt distracted by it because
Justin's like, I'm going to make you like that grill. Before we're done, you're going to like it.
There's no way to do that in a movie without this happening. And anytime you see somebody wear something in their mouth in the movie, it affects their speech.
I agree with that 100%.
And I felt like that was what I was focusing on the entire time watching him, is how he was not talking like Jared Leto. He was talking like Jared Leto at the dentist office. And and it was so distracting to me. I think it would have been much more interesting to have actual messed up teeth, and this gangster grill thing just didn't work for me at all. But like I said, I thought he was really interesting. great villain, just not a great Joker. And there were some scenes that I felt would have been more interesting if they would have been explained more. I felt like they were just done for visual effect. Like, there's a scene where he's in like his apartment sprawled out with all these knives laying around.
Yeah.
And he's laying there laughing. I'm like, that's a really cool visual piece, but why? I mean, I understand that Joker's crazy and he does things that don't make a whole lot of sense, but I want to make at least a little bit of sense. Like, I don't know.
I think that's actually probably right out of the comic book, but
is it?
Yeah, I don't know for sure. I think it is, but I don't disagree with you though. I really don't. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off.
No, that was it. Okay. I was curious what you thought.
It's hard for me to say what I think because, you know, when I've talked to people, I start to tell them what I think, and you're like, oh, you hated it. No, absolutely not. I didn't hate it. Oh, you liked it. No, absolutely not. I didn't like it. It's like I didn't like it, and I didn't dislike it. I'm indifferent to it. It was almost bland to me. He didn't impress me. But I also want to add, I do think he wasn't really the focus here either, and that might be a factor. Like, it wasn't really a Batman and Joker, Justice League and Joker against the Joker movie. He's really more of a proponent to tell Harley's story than he is the Joker. But in terms of what he had chance to do, I mean, you know, and I'm glad, Justin, you loved it. And I've seen a lot of other people that have loved it and also people that have hated it. I'm square in the middle. I just, you know, normally I like to have a firm opinion.
Aaron on the fence?
Buddy, I take a side one way or the other. I'm not like Scott Clark. This one, I'm very in the middle. It's just something where I think it could be good, but it's not there for me yet. It's not there. You know, when you compare to other ones, I mean, Mark Hamill said something when in the features for the Killing Joke that just came out. He made a really, really cool statement where he talked about, you know, somebody had asked him who his favorite Joker was outside of himself. And he said, every Joker that has come came at a time when that Joker was relevant, or something along those lines. That's not the direct quote. But it's a really good point. Cesar Romero was perfect for that show at that time. Jack Nicholson was perfect for that movie at that time. Heath Ledger was perfect for that movie at that time. Maybe Jared Leto is perfect for this series once he gets fleshed out a little bit more and we see a little bit more of him. It's just, as of right now, I don't feel it. It's not ingrained. Like, I walked out of The Dark Knight, and I knew that was one of the best villains I had ever seen. I walked out of Batman, and I thought, I knew that's one of the best villains I've seen of all time. It's just a matter of maybe he hasn't had that set piece where it really shows what he's going to do. So I'm not counting him out. But that grill is one of the worst character choices I've seen in forever, my opinion. Justin, I'm not knocking your opinion. My opinion, man, every time he spoke, I just want to smack that shit out of his face. It just drove me nuts because it did affect his speech. And I think he was trying to do he was always like right on the edge of something really interesting. And then it didn't quite get there. And I think that grill is a factor of that. That's just my personal two cents of that goddamn grill.
What'd you think of his laugh, though?
I actually liked his laugh a lot. Yep. I know some people didn't. I liked it a lot. It was very sadistic and just twisted. Mm-hmm. Really
more
twisted.
More of a cackling.
Yeah. I mean, some people, I think, just want to go, hey, 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 you know, or whatever, you know, they want to hear. And I'm like, you've heard all that, though. Why not a different take? You know, why not?
I saw Jared Leto in an interview, and he said that what he did is he walked around the streets of New York trying out different laughs. Mm-hmm. And any laugh that got people to kind of turn around and look at him like, what the F is a laugh that he kept, you know, in mind and went those directions because he wanted it to be a laugh that was disturbing.
Well, let's be honest. If some random dude is walking down the street and starts laughing without anything going on, you're going to turn and look, right?
Well, I mean, it could, if he's laughing like boisterously, that just seems like, hey, what's so funny? But if it's a real, like his is very methodical and disturbing. Creepy and disturbing, yeah, that's, you're going to get a different reaction. I get that. All right, so that's our thoughts on the Joker and the other two. What about the rest of the cast? Who stood out? Who needs to be fleshed out?
For me, the best character in the show was the main villain, and that's Amanda Waller. Mm. I jokingly say she's a villain, but damn, you'd be hard-pressed to say she's not.
She's a villain, yep.
Viola Davis was outstanding as Amanda Waller. She was so ruthless. and cutthroat. I mean, she was all about her job and getting it done. She doesn't care about anyone else's life. I mean, when she shoots those FBI the computer geeks or whatever they are in that bunker cold. With her.
They weren't clear. They weren't cleared for this. I'm like, yep, damn.
Weren't cleared for this. Boom, boom, boom. I was like, holy crap.
Well, that is one. Flag didn't care. He's like, yeah, you got to do what you got to do.
That is one stone cold bitch. But I loved it. And that's because that's what Amanda Waller has to be. She's got to be cold, got to be ruthless. And I hope they do another Suicide Squad. It can be a whole new pack of bad guys, but she's got to be at the heart of it again because she really brings them all together. But yeah, she was kind of my surprise. I didn't think she was going to be just that dark and menacing, and she is.
Scotty, anybody for you?
Yeah, I actually really enjoyed Joel Kinnaman as Rick Flagg, and I haven't seen him in much of anything except The Killing, and he was in RoboCop, correct?
Yeah, he was good in RoboCop, too.
So, but you don't see much of his face in that one, at least once the movie gets going. And I didn't know who he was in this, again, not being familiar with the property. Mm-hmm. I kind of assumed he might have been one of the characters that I didn't know and didn't recognize because of the makeup and stuff. But no, he played like this agent, basically, that was kind of leading the charge. And I liked his humanity being shown with his love for the human side of Enchantress. And he kind of no nonsense, but kind of petered off a little bit at the end and let them do what they had to do. And I just found him entertaining to watch, very believable, kind of like what somebody would do in that situation, and I really was surprised by his performance, and I liked it.
I love Diablo.
Yeah,
I thought Jay Hernandez. I mean, as the movie went on, and you actually got a real backstory, and you find out he killed his wife and kids just because he lost his temper, and that's why he wasn't going to do this anymore, and then he sacrificed himself for the good of the group. Even though I like the other characters more, to me, he was the most well-rounded character. Like, he had the best and the deepest arc, I think. And I just love the character. I'm really hoping he's not dead because I'd love to see him come back.
It's comics. He's not dead.
Well, but then he goes all Hellboy at the end and basically, like in a Darksiders game or basically any video game, he levels up. And suddenly he's this giant demonic looking creature. Unfortunately, I'm not that familiar with Diablo from the comics. I don't know if that's really, where his power comes from or what he can do with it, but I did not see that coming.
Can we just call him El Camino from now on? We could do that. Right? it's not too offensive. Justin already
but it was really pretty what he could do with fire, making those kind of dancing figures.
Mm-hmm. That was cool.
And then with Jai Courtney, he's like, ooh, look, flicks, open a Zippo, fire.
And he does bye. He writes bye in fire. I thought that was pretty clever.
Yeah. The one thing with him that I don't say it bugged me, but I kind of wanted to see is like when they showed him with his wife and kid and everything, and he still had the tattoos. Mm-hmm. I kind of wanted the tattoos to be something that happened after
I agree. I agree.
Because mean like he did it because of what he lost?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Maybe that doesn't parallel with the comics whatsoever, but man, it was a little hard to believe that she would just be all over him. And, I don't know. He didn't look like he looked like a demon or something already. I don't know. I mean, you love what you love, I guess, but yeah. I think that would have made it, I don't know, might have been a little bit of Kratos if you did all the tattoos and stuff afterwards, but.
I liked that. Well, Justin already mentioned Viola Davis, so I don't need to go there. But she was great, so yeah, good, and they held true to her being an absolute wench. I loved it. But the Flash cameo, even though it's really brief and really quick, I liked the costume. I liked that he showed up, and it didn't disorient me the way that I thought it was going to, because I'm a huge fan of the TV show. So I was really worried that that's going to really bug me, because I'm such a fan, and it didn't. I think he was fine. He was fine. He was really good.
And I really liked Jai Courtney, too. I was surprised.
Could he
do
a little bit more with the boomerang? I mean, wouldn't that seem to be relevant? Your name's Captain Boomerang. Shouldn't you be doing some really cool shit with a boomerang at some point?
Yeah. Or drinking a Foster's or something.
Foster's.
Australian for beer. That was a really bad Australian accent.
That was awful, dude. Awful. How about Batman? Are we glad Batman showed up for his 5 minutes?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, totally.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it continues to show that this universe has existed for a while, and these characters have been doing what they're doing for a while.
I'm not sure on the timeline, because didn't in Batman, this happens after Batman versus Superman, but Batman references in Batman versus Superman the Joker died, I thought.
No.
It's not what he said?
I don't remember him ever saying that.
Well, they talked about Robin dying.
Being killed by the Joker.
I could have swore he said the Joker's been gone for a long time. But maybe I'm wrong, but I know that Jason Todd theory was shot down, that Joker's Jason Todd.
Gone could mean, you know, locked away too.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, maybe that's what it was. I'll have to go back and watch all 3 hours of the Ultimate Cut.
Oh, it's so good, Scott.
The Ultimate Cut's
a favor.
Ultimate Cut's really good, man. I really like it.
Great.
About the production. David Ayer is the director. He's known. He wrote Training Day. He directed some movies that I've liked, like Fury, and he's directed Sabotage, which is the opposite. So what do you guys think about the direction, the tone, whatever?
I thought the tone of this direction fit really well with the theme of the movie. As someone that is unfamiliar with the property, it just worked. If I had read the comics and then said that, and then found that the director of Training Day was going to be doing this, I'd been like, "Yep, that makes sense." It totally worked. I didn't really have any issues with the tone outside of some of the lines felt a little bit too cheesy or forced. Some of the comedy lines felt a little B movie in some spots, but the majority of it was really funny. So also. Holy cow, one of the best soundtracks in a movie I've seen in a long time. Especially in the introductions, they're just playing little clips of songs that if you listen to the lyrics, actually really go very well with what's going on in the scene.
Yeah, they do. Yeah,
something like 7 or 8 times that the song, either in theme or lyrics, just totally worked with what was going on. And as a big music buff, that really sold me a lot. It is one of my favorite music montage movies I've seen in a long time.
Two Trailer Park Girls go around the outside, around the outside. I'm like, you just put Eminem in this bitch? I'm sold.
That was a surprise.
I'm sold.
Well, did you
what's that?
Realize he's not on the soundtrack?
Who's that?
Will Smith.
That's true. Maybe he's done because he's a serious actor now. He ain't rapping no more.
I guess, but it used to be where every film he was in, he had a song in that soundtrack, and there's not a Will Smith song in this one, and I was kind of shocked. Oh,
Jim Big West, wasn't Desperado, Rough Rider, No, You Don't Want Out of None of This. Sorry, I could do the whole song. What about you, Justin? Tone, production?
Yeah, it was exactly what it needed to be. Colorful when it needed to be colorful, dark when it needed to be dark. The tones shifted nicely for me. I do think the middle of the film did get kind of lost or muddled because it was basically a shoot our way from here to there segment. But all in all, I think David Ayer did a fantastic job of juggling a bunch of characters, picking the right ones to focus on, making the screen as much like a comic book as he could, while not, you know, wholly giving over to it and retaining the film aspect. I can't think of anything that I hated.
Whenever I see it, because his name is spelled Ayer, every time I see it, I'm like, up in the air. My biggest issue is probably the tone, and a lot of it has to do with the middle. It's like, love the front, love the back. In the middle, I think it got a little lost. And I know that there's been a lot.
The taint of the movie.
The taint,
as it
yes,
were.
Exactly. Deep in the taint of the Suicide Squad. Only Justin could bring that out. There was a lot of talk about studio interference and David Ayer going back and forth. I don't know if that's true. He denies it, but they always do when these things come out. I'm one of those people where I don't care. What you put on the screen is what I see. So whatever happened to get it there, that's what happened. But there were times where I just feel like they lost focus of what the tone of the movie was going to be in that middle section. Is it light? Is it dark? Is it sardonic? What is it? And, you know, by the end, I think they found it. I think he had a good fitting. So I don't know if maybe they tooled around a lot in the middle, because some of the editing, I think, got a little shoddy in the middle too. But like, for whatever reason, that middle section just struggled with me. And that's probably where like my score dipped down. I was probably at an 8. I was having a lot of fun with it. And then that middle kind of happened. And thankfully the end came back and brought everything back around. I think that bar moment is really where they started clicking as a team. and brought it all back together. So that's really my biggest issue. And the Enchantress, we didn't really talk about her. I did like that she's Yeah. Well, I like that she's a villain, and it wasn't the focus of the story. Like their mission in this movie was to get to know each other and work as a squad. And I think people went into the movie expecting it to be a full on, where's the bad guy? Let's go in and take down the bad guy, which is totally what I expected too. I think the movie's more like the Dirty Dozen, where you're just getting to know the characters and they're coming together. And in the end, you're going to get a villain, but it's not what most comic book movies have been. So, you know, by the end, it worked for me, but there was definitely a long period where I'm like, man, I hope this comes together. It's making me a little nervous. In the air. All right. You wait. Every time you see his name from now on, it's going to pop in your head.
Oh, I've been there.
Yep. Okay, we got one more clip, and we're going to talk about our favorite moments. Here we go.
You're late.
Yogata.
This is Katana. She's got my back. She can cut all you in half with one sword stroke, just like mowing the lawn. I would advise not getting killed by her. Her sword traps the souls of its victims.
Harley Quinn, nice to meet you. Love your perfume. What is that, the scent of death?
Horosuka.
Whoa, easy, cowgirl. Ain't that kind of a mission. Have a seat.
She seems nice.
So ridiculous. All right. So favorite moments or moments that just didn't work? Either way. Or both, actually. Justin.
Well, I'm going to steal one of Scott's because he mentioned it, and it was going to be one I was going to mention anyway. But it's the moment when Deadshot is standing on top of that. I think it's a Humvee or some other vehicle. And he's basically saving the day by shooting down every single
Blackberry.
Of those Blackberry heads in the area. And when you see the Navy SEAL guys kind of looking up at him, almost in awe, like, holy crap, this guy is awesome. I think it was a really redeeming moment for that character.
That was a fist pumping moment, Justin. When that thing was over, I was like, rah, hoorah.
Yeah, that was my pick as well, especially with his line at the end when he looks back at Flag and says, that's how I cut and run. Just like a callback to the conversation on the chopper, which was just that moment was my favorite of the entire movie. It was just, yes, awesome.
Mine was
for a moment. Oh, I'm sorry.
No, I just want to mention that I loved Harley Quinn in the when she jumps on the chain, the helicopter, she's trying to escape, and she's doing her stupid upside down dance pose, whatever the hell that was. It's just like so nutty.
She's going Cirque du Soleil.
Yes, I love that, and hopping in the elevator, leaving everybody and just waving like, hey, bye. I thought that was just great. Sorry, Justin, I didn't mean to cut you off.
No, I was just going to say the moments that didn't work for me almost entirely centered around Galadriel. Oh, I'm sorry. I mean the Enchantress. When she goes all bluey, mystical kind of looking, I much preferred her when she had more of that South American, you know, dark goddess witch look to her.
Like the chick from The Ring.
Almost. Yeah, I mean, that to me is a scary character. When she levels up from that, I lost almost total interest in her. Because she her voice was practically from Lord of the Rings. I mean, Cate Blanchett might as well have been doing it. It lost me. She became a villain that, sure, she's got a whole lot of power, but just no more interest in me to watch, because I found the other version of her so much more compelling, so much more interesting. Mm-hmm. I think with her brother being the big monstery character, I think they could have found a different way of handling the Enchantress after that. I didn't care for the way they dealt with her. Mm-hmm. But, you know, for me, that's a minor quibble in a film so filled with other things that I did thoroughly enjoy.
I liked her, though. Her brother was a little Gods of Egypt to me, but the whole time he showed up, I'm like, is Alex Proyas? Is he doing this movie, too? I don't know what happened.
I do kind of wish they'd looked more Aztec-ian.
Yeah, I do. I loved her voice, though. I don't know what it was about her, but I loved her voice. It really, every time she spoke there at the end, I was just, can she stay a little longer? I liked her. I didn't like her as the normal lady. I didn't think that was very interesting, but Jane or whatever.
She's a very beautiful woman, though. I don't know if I've ever seen Claire. Is it Claire Devine?
Cara Delevingne? Is that?
Okay, whatever. I don't think I've ever seen her before. But she is astonishingly good looking.
She was in Paper Towns, right? Isn't that the movie she was in?
Oh, that is her, but I never saw that. Nothing beyond the trailers.
Yeah. Scott, what about you? Anything?
Man, I didn't like Croc.
Oh, he's
Killer
awful.
Killer Croc. I mentioned earlier how like I felt like some of the characters are underutilized. He didn't do anything. He didn't bring anything to the team. The only thing that he did
was
at the end, he threw that bomb that Deadshot shot in the air. But that was like his one contribution to the whole thing was being there and throwing a bomb.
He swam. Sick. He swam, Scott, under the sewer. He swam like a crocodile.
Because that was helpful.
It was kind of helpful. I agree. That's if you could have ditched one character, it's probably Killer Croc. But yeah.
Mr. Echo.
I did like that he wanted BET in his cell. That was pretty funny.
What do you want, BET?
BET.
So random. I had one question. Griggs, the guard. What happened to him? He's the one that was like basically punishing everybody, and then flips and gives Harley the phone, and she's like, "Oh, you're gonna so regret this," or something like that. And then we never see him again.
He became Joker's henchman on a helicopter. He was in the helicopter with Joker.
He was.
Yeah, and he got shot. Yep. Yeah, he was on that helicopter.
Oh,
that the shame Joker
on me. Oh, so he's dead.
Yeah,
I believe so. Yeah,
he gone.
Man, I missed that. I totally missed that. Deadshot should have killed him
instead of firing at Harley Quinn.
Yeah, which I was actually kind of surprised that moment happened, honestly, that Deadshot actually felt sympathy.
I really was kind of excited when he killed her. I was praying that she wasn't faking it or whatever. I was like, that would have been a really cool moment, because they never kill off anybody in comic book movies.
Well, they killed like three characters in this movie, man. Like Enchantress is dead.
Prominent ones.
Oh, I mean, oh, I see what
you're
saying.
You know what I'm saying? Like that would have given Joker.
You don't
some...
kill Harley Quinn.
No, man. Well, I mean, I see where Scott's coming from, though.
Yeah, I get what you want, but you don't kill Harley
You
Quinn.
Leave her alone, though, is what we're saying.
Mm-hmm.
We need that kind of crazy.
Oh, yeah, I want to see more of her for sure, but that would have
oh,
just...
yes. And by more of her, I mean that in every way.
By more of her, you mean less clothing?
Could you get more pervy when you say it?
Could she just wear like a red and blue thong?
Oh, next.
That's about it.
That's in the sequel. Yeah, that's in the sequel. All right. Is there what do you wish they had done different, or that you would like to see in a sequel? Scott, here's where you tell us again how you don't read comic books. Go ahead.
I'm not saying it. I'm in the minority when I say this, but I kind of wish that the Joker wouldn't have been in the movie. To me, he felt like a reason to get people to come to the theater, which I understand from a financial aspect, people want to see how he's going to do it. Mm-hmm. But I think it would have been much more interesting to have Harley Quinn and have maybe a couple brief shots of the Joker just to kind of give some of her story. But then it'd be a great surprise at the end when, hey, guess what, guess what, he's not dead. Instead of doing the guess what, he's not dead, which is we all knew was happening. I mean, mm-hmm. there's no way that Joker was going to be dead from a stupid helicopter crash.
Right.
And just when he busts her out of prison, been like, okay, he's going to be a for real thing in the next one. Would have been much more interesting than wasting, or not wasting, but having so much with him in the movie that just felt honestly unnecessary. I think you could have told Harley's story with a little bit less of him and fleshed him out more in the sequel.
All right, Justin, anything?
Yeah, I really have to fully disagree. For me, Harley. The Joker is such an intrinsic part of that character. She would not exist as a character were it not for the Joker. Mm-hmm. So if they had done this film with her in it and him not present, I think that would have thrown me off more than having him in the movie. Because frankly, I loved him in the film, so I'm fine with having more of him. But I don't think you can have Harley and her story, especially her backstory, without featuring a lot of the Joker, because
I agree with
he
that.
Is the reason she is who she now is.
I agree with you, but why is it okay in like Batman versus Superman to throw all this stuff in there that people who haven't read the comics have no clue what's going on? Everybody that is a fan of the comics knows where Harley Quinn comes from, so why do we have to have all that backstory in this one?
I think a lot of people don't know that character, though. She's not nearly as popular as the rest of them, honestly. So
I think she's a hardcore geek, object of affection. And I think amongst the cosplayer community, she's an easy one to love because her costumes are so, you know, kind of showy and flashy. But I don't know how many people are really.
You said flashy.
Yeah.
I thought it was
flash.
Funny.
I get you. Okay.
Man, it's your joke. It was your pun, and I'm giving you piss off then.
Well, I think that this movie is the one that's really designed to bring in the non-comic book fan because you've got so many characters in it. You're going to have someone that's going to appeal to a viewer. Whereas with Superman versus Batman, I think that was created, unfortunately, maybe too much for the hardcore comic book fan and not enough for the everyday non-comic book viewer. But as far as what do I wish they had done differently or I'd like to see in a sequel, I do think they tried too many characters. I think they should limit it probably to a solid 4 or 5. I would also, you know, I'm kind of tired of every villain now kind of being this world-ending villain.
Oh, God, yes. Yes.
What happened to just a bad guy who wanted to blow up a building or who just wanted to rob a bank? You know, send the Suicide Squad after, you know, a good villain that's not going to end all life on Earth. It doesn't have to be that huge, that over the top. It can be just, you know, a despot and his minions. Or, I mean, hell, DC's Rogues Gallery is full of great villains they could send these guys against. Don't make it be the, you know, the world enders every single time. And that goes with Marvel too. They quite often, it's everything. If they don't win, we're all dead.
Yeah. We got to stop that in most movies, honestly. Just stop it. Stop it. Joker. I do wish he was in the movie less. I think he did have to be here, but I would rather see him. Here's what I would rather see: Harley show up in Justice League than Joker show up in the next Suicide Squad. How's that? I think that makes more sense to me. I would rather see the Suicide Squad focus on, like Justin said, a regular foe or more normal foe that's not bent on world destruction, and then Joker's not really a part of it. So in the next one, I would rather not see the Joker or have it be a very small cameo or like an end credit thing or like this one at the very end where he breaks her out again, because that does happen quite often in the comics. He's always having to save her to a degree.
These guys are always breaking in and out of jail.
Yeah, yeah. It's like jail is just basically a place where they hang out every now and again.
It's like a halfway house.
Yeah, exactly. Just give them a bracelet, man. Let them go. You're replacing a lot of doors for no reason. And I think in the sequel, man, I know it's not a popular opinion, but I say go rated R. If there's ever a franchise that needs a rated R cut of a movie, it's Suicide Squad. Just let them. Deadpool has shown if you've got the humor, you're still going to bring in the teens, man. They're going to show up. And I think this is a franchise that would actually benefit from an R rating if you let the violence really just go, because it felt like throughout the movie they're kind of having to hold back a little bit. I mean, I almost think the minions are made blackberries just because they wanted to shoot a lot of people and they couldn't actually shoot a lot of people.
Right. So, it's why they went with, like, they often go with like robot villains.
Yeah, exactly. For the same thing. And let the dark humor flow, man. Just go for it. I love that aspect. I think it really works. Next go round, have a little bit more reasonable story and let's get nuts. Let's just go. Have at it. Mm-hmm. That's what I think. Justin, I already know the answer to this question, but I'm going to ask you anyway. Is, in your opinion, because there has been a lot of back and forth, I mean, shut Rotten Tomatoes down. That still cracks me up. But do you think DC is on the right track with this franchise and in general?
So far, I like what I'm seeing a lot. I do agree with you. I think this does need to go R-rated. This can be the franchise where they just let their hair down and go completely crazy with what they're doing. You can't really do that with Superman. You really can't do that with Batman. But with the Suicide Squad, when you've got nothing but bad guys, that's where you can really let loose. And I'd like to see more of that. So yeah, I think Ayers has been a good pick. I hope he gets to do the next one, but if not, whoever they've got for me, got some big shoes to fill.
A year. What about you, Scott?
I think it's going in a better direction than anything else I've seen from DC in quite a while. I'm excited for what's coming more than I've been in a long time. I think Justice League is going to be the real test to see if DC is on the right track.
That's a big one, man. That's huge.
Yeah. So
I think by the end of the movie, they knew what they were doing. I do think, you know, the beginning, they had it kind of figured out. I think they lost their way in the middle, or there was a lot of back and forth with the studio. I don't know what's true, what's not. It's Hollywood. You never know.
But I'm really curious to hear what changed, what they did.
If anything. I mean, David Ayer really.
Ayer.
See? Oh, catching on. He emphatically denied that his cut changed or they added more humor or anything else. I'm going to take him at his word. I mean, he seems like a good guy in every interview I've ever seen. He seems pretty down to earth. So, you know, whatever. I think they've got a handle on the tone. I think the next movie will be better. I did like this one. I want to see more. I personally liked Batman versus Superman. I think the Ultimate Cut is really good. I thought the original movie was good. This one, the Ultimate Cut, is really good. I don't know why they wouldn't release it. One thing that I was telling some friends today was DC needs to believe in their vision before we can believe in their vision. And it feels like there's too much. They're
second guessing.
Yes, they are second guessing themselves way too much. We need them to believe in their vision before we can believe in it. And I think that's wow.
That may be one of the most insightful things you've ever said.
That's literally what that person said too. Apparently that's all I got. That's all I can offer. But so do you want more, Scott? Do you want more?
Yes and no. I want more Deadshot and more Harley Quinn. I really could do without pretty much anybody, any of the other squad. Maybe Diablo. Diablo was interesting. He had some death to him, but we probably can't see that. So unless he's not dead, I mean,
it's a comic book movie, man. They can come back pretty easy.
Yeah. So more Deadshot, more Harley Quinn. That's about it.
All right, Justin.
Same deal.
All right. I guess we all concur. We liked it enough to see another one. So I don't. I guess one thing I want to ask you in closing as we wrap this up is when it comes to reviews, and we review movies on The Hollywood Outsider every week. So if you never listened to an episode, please go check it out. And we try to be as fair as we can. We love movies just like you love movies. And I don't think critics hate movies. I think that there's a disconnect to some degree between this set of movies and what they're seeing. But do you guys think that DC should keep emphatically changing things or second guessing themselves in order to appease the critic gods? Justin, I'll let you take that.
They need to let their artists do what artists do, and they need to let Geoff Johns really take control over this, and I think they're going to have a lot of success with it. Unfortunately, are the critics ever going to give them the kudos they deserve? I don't know, but to me, it doesn't matter. I go see films I want to see, whether critics liked it or not. I hate to say that I don't like critics, because that's kind of saying, well, I don't like myself, because I
it is, yeah.
we kind of do this, but I much prefer critics that go with their heart instead of going with a calculator. And I think too many critics these days go in with a calculator where they're trying to diagram exactly where this movie fits on a scale of, you know, like Dead Poets Society. On this side is your appreciation. On this side is the perfection and you know, charting shit. It's art. Mm-hmm. It should be about emotion and all that. So
J. Evans Pritchard.
That's right. I could meander around this point all day, but I think the critics are, I think they are being too harsh on DC.
I agree. And I pretty much everything that Justin said, like let the artists do what they do best, because they're the ones that are passionate about the properties, and they're the ones that are more in tune with the fans than the suits are. You know, listen to them. Don't necessarily give them everything they want, but at the end of the day, it's art. It's what the artist wants to do. And this isn't a singular artist. There's a lot of people that are involved in these things. So you're not going to get, you know, just one person's vision, but let them do what they're going to do. You might be surprised. I mean, I think Deadpool pretty much proved that works, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I think Suicide Squad did to a degree. I think they let Air do a lot of what he wanted to do. It's like crack. It just can't stop. And I can't really add much to what these guys said. Everything that they said, absolutely. All right, well, that's going to do it for this episode, the special episode. You come back during the week for a regular one. You can join our Facebook group. We do put our weekly topics there, and we ask for your comments at that time. Our Twitter is H_Outsider. You can find other episodes, reviews, and other info at thehollywoodoutsider.com. It's thehollywoodoutsider.com. Our email is feedback@thehollywoodoutsider.com. It's feedback@thehollywoodoutsider.com. Remember to grab the hoe and the go with your Apple or Android apps. We're also on Spotify, iHeartRadio, etc. Or subscribe in your podcast app of choice. That's going to do it. Thanks, Justin and Scott, for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Roop, roop. Thanks for having me, too.
And I remember the next time you head to a theater to see Suicide Squad, buy popcorn.
And plenty of bullets.
There's a lot of bullets. There's so many bullets. Why'd you come? You knew you should.